Okay, Boker Tov. During this season, when the Book of Acts, when the readings come from the Book of Acts, we do the Psalms.
That's a lot of Old Testament stuff that didn't fulfill.
And so we thought we'd look at Psalm 110. The title of the Book of Psalms, of course, is Tehillim Praises. And Psalm 110 is one of the more important psalms, quoted very often in the New Testament. Unfortunately, it's also one of the more difficult ones in Hebrew. All kinds of problems. Look at the bottom of the page, you can see the apparatus. When they have a big apparatus down there, that means a lot of problems. But we'll try to make sense of the MT. So, Le David, of David, Mizmor, a psalm. Mizmor comes from the root zamar, which means to make music, or possibly even to pluck a string, more specifically. Anyway, it's normally just translated psalm. And Le David, I take that as a lament of authorship. When they do give you a historical narrative after the Le David, it's always David who's doing something, so that tells me that David is the author. Then verse 1, Ne'um Yahweh, the utterance of Yahweh, that's a construct chain. The utterance of Yahweh, La-do-ni, to my Lord, that Eonian, that's not Adonai. In the Hebrew Bible, Adonai always refers to Yahweh, but Adoni is a first person possessive suffix on a singular, my Lord. The English translations always confuse this by saying the Lord said to my Lord, and so you think the Hebrew says Adonai to Adoni, but or Adon to Adoni, but the Hebrew is much clearer. Yahweh said to my Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean, in other words, that my Lord in this case has to be divine, although we see in the fulfillment it is, but here, you couldn't prove that from the Hebrew. So the utterance of Yahweh to my Lord, shave, that's the imperative of Yashav, sit, limini, this is from Yamin, Yamin means right, sometimes it means the south, because when you make directions you face east, so right would be the south. Right hand, and the E on the end is a suffix. Sit to my right hand. Ad, until, Ashith, this is Yahweh speaking, until I place, O Yaveka, your enemies, Hadom, a footstool, Le Ragleka, for your feet. Until I place your enemies as a footstool for your feet. In other words, until I conquer your enemies and you rule over them, they're beneath your feet. They're completely humiliated. We actually have pictures of this sort of thing from Egyptian tombs and Assyrian wall reliefs where the king has a bunch of decapitated heads under his feet. The Assyrians decapitated their foes. so they literally counted heads. Oh, yeah. So Yahweh is going to make my Lord's enemies a footstool. Now notice that David then is talking about his Lord, and David is quoting Yahweh, who is speaking to his Lord. So the second person, you got to keep the character straight in this psalm. The second person here is David's Lord. Verse 2, Mate Uzzekah, the staff of your strength, Yishlach Yahweh. Yahweh will stretch out, will send forth Mitzion from Zion. Notice there's an athnok there, so that's the pause. Then the next line, Rade, that's an imperative. address to this person, this David's Lord, rule, book Kerev, in the midst of, O Yaveka, your enemies. So Yahweh stretches out David's Lord's strong rod or staff, that's a sign of rulership, from Zion. Notice, he rules from Zion. Whenever you have a Davidic promise, you also have Zion there as well. They go together, just like Christ and the church go together. And then rule in the midst of your enemies. So now the Messiah, David's Lord, is going to rule. Verse 3, Amakah, your people, could be your army. Am very often means army, referring to the Lord's army. Nedavoth are free will offerings. Apparently that's some kind of image or metaphor. They offer themselves freely as free will offerings. Bayom, on the day of Keleka, your strength, your might. The picture here is, it's a military picture. David's Lord is going out to battle. Yahweh is going to make them a footstool, but now David's Lord is the one who seems to be ruling. Then the next line, Bahadre Kodesh, in the arrays of holiness. That's a plural, the arrays, the splendors of holiness. Well, there's footnotes all over the place. You could read that as Harare, on the mountains of holiness, on holy mountains. Or just a plural of majesty in holy array. May Rekham, from the womb, Mishkar of dawn. That's apparently a construct chain. May is from Rekham, the womb of the dawn, the womb of the morning. Some kind of image there. The morning gives birth to this. What does the morning give birth to? From the womb of the dawn, Laka, to you, Tal, Du, Yalduthekha. This is Yalduth, from the root Yalad. Your youth, it's a plural, your youthfulnesses. Seems to be, it's an abstract, a noun in Hebrew that ends uth is usually an abstract. So what does that mean? I don't know. Apparently the subject is your youthfulnesses. Your youthfulness is dew. Apparently that's a metaphor, is like the dew. Laka, to you. It's coming to you. Your youthfulness is coming to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. I think, you know, early in the morning there's dew, and just like that, so your youthfulness, your youthful vigor comes to you. Talking about David's Lord. Is that it? Sometimes an abstract is used for a concrete. So your young men come to you like dew. And then this would be your young men, the people who are volunteering to join your army. What is the point of comparison? They're like dew. Well, dew covers and blankets the ground in the morning, so maybe it's that. Numerous volunteers. Or, if it's your youthfulness is like the dew, what is that?
Refreshing.
Refreshing. It's some kind of metaphor and, pardon?
Soggy.
It's there early in the morning, from the womb of the dawn. Right at the beginning of the day. It doesn't delay. Apparently that's part of the idea. The Hebrew poetry uses a lot of imagery, and that's what makes it fun, but also challenging. You have to get into the imagery and figure out the point of comparison. Then verse 4, Nishba Yahweh, Yahweh swore, Velo Yenachem, and he will not repent. Well, he does repent sometimes, but he's not going to repent over this one. This is a decree that's set in cement, in other words. He's not going to change his mind. You are a priest, La'olam, forever. Yahweh is addressing this David's Lord person. You are a priest forever. All of a sudden, we shifted. Before we had military language, now we have a priest. Al Divrathi, that Hirik Yod on the end is not a suffix. We call that a Yod Compagonus, or Hirik Compagonus, which simply means a companion Hirik Yod that doesn't mean anything. And it always sounds better when you can put it into Latin. But the fact is, we really don't know what that means or why they use these. But
is this the famous Yod Irrelevantus?
Yeah, it's an irrelevant Yod. On according to the order of Malki Tzedek, my king is righteousness. That's what the name means. My king is righteousness, but it's a name, Melchizedek. So you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. David's Lord is not a priest according to the order of Aaron, not an Aaronic priest. He's a Melchizedekian priest. Well, I wish David would have expanded more on who and what he means by this. He drops that reference to Melchizedek, and now in verse 5 we're back to the war arena. So, you know, what does this mean? Well, in Genesis, Melchizedek, Genesis 14, as you recall, was the priest king of Jerusalem. So this David's Lord will also be a priest king of Jerusalem. That's apparently part of the picture. Verse 5, the Lord, Adonai, now that always refers to Yahweh. Yahweh, in other words. Al Yaminaka is at your right hand, at David's Lord's right hand. That's odd, because in verse 1, the Lord is at Yahweh's right hand. So who's at whose right hand? And in verse 5, apparently Yahweh is at the Lord's right hand. Now, you could get around it this way. Make Adonai vocative. Oh, Yahweh, at your right hand. And then that way you keep the Lord at Yahweh's right hand. How do you know when you got a vocative or not? I don't know. This is a tough psalm. And there are always, on every line, there are so many options. It's a classic example of why you need to know Hebrew. You read your English translations, you would think this psalm was real easy. No problem. So part of the value of knowing the original is you know things are a little tougher than the English Bible readers realize. You know, your English Bible readers are kind of misled a little bit by how easy the translations go. And of course you have your TV preachers who are pontificating on the basis of the English Bible, and you know, they're not even aware of what they don't know, you know, and how much more difficult it is. So knowing Hebrew doesn't always give you the answer, but it does make you more sensitive to the importance of exegesis, and that things are a little tougher than we wish they were. All right, so the Lord is at your right hand, Makatz. He has smitten Bayom Apo, on the day of his wrath, kings, Malachim. Now, who did the verb? If we take Adonai as the subject, then Yahweh has smitten on the day of his wrath. Let's just take it that way and see how it goes. So Yahweh is at the Lord's right hand. Yahweh smote kings on the day of his wrath. Apparently, he's doing what he said he would do in verse 1, make them a footstool. Verse 6, let's say that Yahweh is the subject of this as well. He will judge Bagoyim among the nations. Maleh he will fill up with corpses. Apparently, fill up the land with corpses. Makatz, he will smite the head. Could be collective heads. Could be the singular. The chief enemy. Is it referring to part of the anatomy? Or is it referring to the leader? Rosh is ambiguous. He has smitten the Rosh, Al Eretz Rabbah, over the wide earth, or over the wide land. Is Eretz land or is it earth? Does Rosh go with Al Eretz Rabbah? The leader over the wide earth, or over the wide land. Maybe Al Eretz Rabbah goes with all three lines. He judges among the nations over the wide earth. He fills with corpses over the wide earth. He smites the head heads over the wide earth. At any rate, Yahweh is defeating the enemies. Now, verse 7 is what throws us for a loop. Min Nachal, from the Wadi, Ba-Derek, on the way, on the road, Yishteh, he will drink. Now, Yahweh will drink water from the Wadi on the road? Can't be. Not in the Hebrew Bible. Yahweh does not drink water. This is not the incarnate Yahweh yet. This Yahweh in the Old Testament doesn't drink. So this has to be David's Lord who's doing this drinking. But it's third person. So that makes us back up. We got to back up to verse 5. Let's make all of the subjects of the verbs David's Lord. And let's make Adonai vocative. O Yahweh, at your right hand, David's Lord smites. Verse 6, David's Lord judges, fills, smites. And then verse 7 follows, David's Lord drinks. See, that would be nice. But, so there are two ways of going, and I can't choose between them. You can read it either way. It's kind of an example of sustained ambiguity. Then the last line, therefore he raises his head. Who's the subject? Whose head? Apparently it's the David's Lord's head. Who raises it? The Lord raises his own head. Yahweh raises his head. If it's Yahweh, then Yahweh would be the subject of that verb. But I just can't believe that Yahweh's the subject of drinking. So apparently David's Lord raises his own head. So what is he doing? What's he doing taking this drink of water? A wadi is a riverbed. Apparently he won the victory and he's refreshing himself after the war. Well, that's it. A very important psalm, though. It tells us that David has a Lord over him, and David's Lord is going to rule from Zion. He's going to defeat his enemies. Yahweh is going to defeat his enemies, and David's Lord is a priest according to the Melchizedekian order. So king and a priest and a military warrior. Those are kind of the three offices of this person. Now, who is this person? We go to the New Testament.